Fans radio station.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio, this is your Metro Kiev Madison Sports Center.
Good morning, Madison. My name is Riley Yauch, and this is your Sports Center update brought to you by Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of smoke-free slots and the highest payout percentage in the area. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, more spins, more wins, more fun. It is officially almost football season as we are just one day away from the Green Bay Packers taking the field in their first preseason game. Head coach Matt LaFleur said that Jordan Love will start and starters on both sides of the ball will play. Lots to look forward to as kickoff from Cleveland is scheduled for 3:25 Central tomorrow. Head on over to ESPNWisconsin.com for more coverage from NFL insider Rob Domofsky, who will be joining us today at 9:30. In baseball, the Brewers absolutely smoked the Atlanta Braves yesterday, 16-7. Jackson Churio made a little history by becoming the youngest Brewer to hit two home runs in a game. Milwaukee now has a 7-game lead over the second-place Cardinals. The Crew starts a 10-game homestand tonight against the Reds. First pitch slated for 7:10, Aaron Civale on the bump. In the meantime, it's time for Willie and Tausch, which starts now.
Metro Kia of Madison, Madison's trusted Kia dealer. Stop into Metro Kia on the east side of Madison or MetroKiaOfMadison.com. Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
The preseason opener is tomorrow edition. Which means, what are you doing at home? I thought you were at a golf outing. Am I watching yesterday's show? You.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Or is that on Monday? Is that happening Monday, Tausch?
Riley's like, Jesse, I gotta find a picture of Tausch and all kinds of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, Jesse told me you'd be gone.
Jesse doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Well,
no offense to
excellent. The undisclosed location edition. And the this is the preseason for us, too. So we're gonna go through our game day rituals or pregame rituals leading into a game. Steinhoffel sleepers of the week. Green Bay game day preview, all that kind of fun stuff edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPN Wisconsin.
Dodge County.
The Daily Dodge. I don't know if we're actually on that. ESPNWisconsin.com. The ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, including with Tausch, not a picture of him, on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. And, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. The streak is over. Jesse, Tausch, and me together on the show. We made it 4 days with an hour sabbatical for Jesse to go play golf. So Riley Yauch is in our
Yauchster
studio, the Everlight Solar Studio, filling in as our cousin sub of the day. Right, Riley?
Woo! Yes,
he's
sir.
On the pump. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And from his undisclosed location, it is the Packers Hall of Famer. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Riley, what do we got today? Any impressions, Do we have
love letter updates?
Do you have a Coach LaFleur? Yeah, any quilling of pens?
Let's see. I do have.
What are we expecting?
I have an update that's coming in Woe Riley that I think you may be interested in. It's not related to my relationship or voices or anything like that, but it's another skill you may not be aware that I have.
Oh, okay. Now I'm intrigued.
Well, we know your skill with the quill is undeniable. All right, so you have put together today's program. Do you feel like that? I feel like you are kind of like preseason football. This is another opportunity for you, for us, to see you, one of our young rising stars, take another step in his development. So do you feel good about kind of how your process is going? I'm going to interview you like I interviewed Brenton Cox.
Okay.
So, Riley, what kind of camp do you think you've been having? How much, in what ways do you feel like you've improved?
That's a great question. You know, my show sheet creation ability is definitely something I'm working on right now. Last night, I'll admit, it was a little bit of a struggle. I was up late, it was after midnight, and this probably wasn't my best show sheet of all time. But you know, we're getting in the lab. We'll have another shot on Monday. I think that one will be better, and we're going to keep working.
Sean Ryan got benched for an entire practice yesterday with one mistake. Do you feel like not knowing that Tausch was at home and thinking he was at a golf outing would be enough to get you benched, or do you feel like you can make up for that the rest of the show?
No, I think I can make up for that the rest of the show. I think that was an honest mistake. I believe I was fed bum information from one Jesse Nelson. Whether that be misinterpreted information, maybe he said Monday and I just misheard, but regardless, that was not from me.
Should teammates, if you were, all right, Tausch, critique those answers as a teammate, because he wasted no time.
Don't talk about others unless it's in a positive light. Only talk about yourself when you're dealing with the media.
Okay. Then in that case,
unless you're going to praise a teammate, you don't go down that road. So that would be an F from Riley as far as Barry and Jesse.
Okay.
Especially that's his direct report. So that even more so.
It's like burying your position, coach.
Well, there's times guys
maybe
sure
you'd like to do that. Right. So, all right. So we're going to do all of our normal preview stuff. We're excited to do that. Although my primary question, what are we going to do about headlines? Because once upon a time, headlines were just a way of predicting the outcome or what was going to happen in the game. And then it expanded to these long soliloquies. And then it translated into a musical rendition, sometimes starring you, sometimes with you getting professional recording artists to do the singing for you. I don't know what you have planned for this season, but I don't think it starts with preseason games.
No.
So is it going to be like old school today? Like kissing cousins once upon a time? Or what do you think?
I don't know. I don't have anything planned. We obviously are not starting our headline routine, which will be implementing or showcasing probably a week before the season starts.
Oh.
We got a little preclude. A little prelude to the season, and then
wow,
Jason knows what we're doing, and I think you're keeping it under wraps, but we will be doing that.
I'm a secret keeper.
Yeah, you're getting good. We will be doing that throughout the season, but no, preseason, they don't count. We ain't counting our headlines yet. So,
right.
No, while I'll say this, though. I was on Wisconsin's Morning News this morning. You still haven't replaced me with that yet. And
yet.
The question was, who's not excited about the fact we now will have Packers football, with a couple of exceptions, obviously, with Labor Day weekend and with the bye week. It's going to be flowing through for 4, maybe 5, 6 months, which is awesome. And it all starts this weekend. So I think the excitement level and the questions, I know Riley will bring them up later, I think does this make you sad that you now know summer is kind of ending, or are you excited because now you know you're going to have football on you're going to have your football fix on a regular basis?
All right, so I understand that part of it. from the kind of the macro view.
This legitimately was the fastest summer for me ever. Like, this was the fastest summer I've ever had.
Well, you went a lot of places.
Not really. And you had a lot of games. Fast. It was just faster than ever before.
Yeah, it has flown by. There's no denying that at our end either. So from the macro view, I agree with you. You've got a great view of the fact that there's going to be football after football after football. The Packers may be playing all the way into February. February 9th, the date for your Super Bowl, Jaire Alexander's birthday. That said, from the micro view of a preseason game against the Cleveland Browns, in which we don't know how much the starters will play, how much Jordan Love will play, and what kind of takeaways we may or may not be able to make from the new defensive coordinator and his system, where is your excitement level for that? Because Josh DiMaggio, world-renowned producer for Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, felt like I kind of rained on Gabe's parade this morning. He's really excited about preseason. And I don't think that that's fair at all, because nobody loves the preseason more than me. Like, when people
that's
say
true.
That
you
kind
tell
of thing,
us all the time.
That's one of the rare times where you say that and it's true. Like, I want to see what all these guys that are trying to keep the dream alive do. But from a lasting impressions and judgments about what this team is going to be, that's not what this is for, and that's not why I love preseason games. Help me out with this.
You love the storylines. I think for most of us, the preseason is you're going to watch. Especially if you're a big-time Packer fan. There'll be a preseason. Of course, the games don't matter. But I just think this isn't the salted, seasoned group that we've been accustomed to prior to last year, where it's wake me in the playoffs and division. There's still a lot of things to see and to recognize if we've improved upon. The excitement level for this team obviously is markedly higher than last year. And
there are questions
that I think fans have. Whereas in the past, it was, is the defense going to be good enough? You knew when you had an Aaron Rodgers-led offense that you're going to score points, you're going to be fine. Now, I think, while obviously we don't have the same amount of confidence as he did when Rodgers was in his heyday, you feel like Jordan Love, they're pretty good and the offense will be good. What is this defense going to look like? So for me, I can only speak for me. Preseason's about, well, individual battles, individual development to help the team. Who's going to be the breakout stars that we're hoping to see? Who's going to be that guy that elevates the Tony Mall, who was a backup, and all of a sudden stops Sean Merriman out in Qualcomm Stadium, and next thing you know, you go into the O-line room and Tony Mall's a starting right guard. Are there going to be those storylines? It sounds like Sean Ryan's in the doghouse up in Green Bay. Jordan Morgan's hurt. Is there somebody, is one of these backup tackles going to emerge and have a night? Maybe they get to block Myles Garrett. I doubt it, but maybe. And then all of a sudden the coach is like, well, if he can block 95, he can block anybody. What is going to be that storyline? That's what's intriguing. And on my end, I am excited about Jeff Hafley. I'm excited to see. I keep reading, whether it's you or Domofsky, all time. You would think that this is the 85 Bears listening to your guys' reports. Oh, the offense is struggling. Jason gives him a C-minus grade earlier this week. I haven't seen so many interceptions thrown. It's an interception palooza up at Lambeau. All right, great. I'm excited. Now let's see it in real games. And if that's the case, I'm excited. Is Bullard going to be the guy that everybody's reading? Like, there are so many little interesting storylines. I don't know how many reps guys are going to get. But when they're out there, I'm super intrigued to watch, which I can't say has been the case really for 3 or 4 years.
I agree with everything you said there. Here's the problem, and this is the only problem I have, and this is why I maybe rained on Gabe's parade, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 7 to 9 weekdays on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, is that I don't think you're going to get a lot of answers tomorrow. The storylines are all great. I agree with every single one you brought up. Bullard is a fascinating example because Evan Williams, the former Oregon Duck, has had a very good camp too. He's been involved in two collisions with Christian Watson, but he's done a lot of other things as well, and he's picked off passes. I think that there is a possibility that there will be times when they're changing up personnel and Bullard's going to go to the slot and they're going to bring in Evan Williams or Anthony Johnson as one of the two safeties next to Xavier McKinney. These are all great storylines. I'm with you. Is the ghost of Royce Newman going to reemerge, and is he going to have a chance to be involved in the rotation? Because we all, I know I did, kind of wrote him off, right? The swing tackle thing, Andre Dillard, et cetera. Like, yes, tons of stories. The question I have is, what are we going to get answered beyond those types of things that are further down the depth chart? Swing tackle, that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
to me, that's what happens.
And normally it's backup quarterback. That's intriguing.
It is.
I haven't heard a ton. Sean Clifford, it has not been great news that's popped out of Green Bay, and especially with Jordan Love sitting in the first 4 or 5 days.
Right. He's been better since.
He didn't really grab the bull by the horns and take that next jump. So
no, he's strong.
That's always intriguing. But the fact is, you have a new defense that everybody's excited about, and you want to keep building on that excitement. I don't want to see the Browns offense, whenever the ones are out there, or however many ones are out there, I don't want to see the Browns offense with Lord knows who's going to be quarterbacking move the football easily and score. Like that, I don't care how many reps or what it is. That's you diagnose and over-diagnose every time the starters are in the preseason.
No doubt.
That's just what we do in the media. It is an over-analysis and an over-diagnosis of that. So when you're out there, you got to perform. But I'm not concerned. It's slightly less than concerned. I'm definitely not freaked out.
Okay.
But I'd like to see this offense do some things. I don't want to just bank on the fact, well, yeah, they're playing the 85 Bears in practice. They can't. How are they supposed to move the ball? So the fact that as many people, you included, have been down on what this offense on a consistency basis has done makes me think that there's some things that need to be worked upon and improved on. And to build confidence, you need to have success. And to have success, you got to go out there and play. And I think that's why Jordan Love is playing. And I think that's what it's going to be important for us to see, that this isn't inconsistent first half of the year offensively. We want to see what we built upon last year, because so many of the variables of what we saw last year are in place. We shouldn't have some big drop-off. We want to keep building because we want to be better than how we saw this offense finish at the end of last season.
All right, we will talk more about Packers-Browns coming up tomorrow. 3:25 start. I feel like that's usually preseason games are nighttime games. I don't love the kickoff. But I did want to ask one other question because so Jesse is legit on vacation. This isn't one of those where he's like working in the office but not doing the show. It's not just some random day off. Like, he's off today and he's off Monday. And I am curious, like, all right, you took your vacations, right? You went on your trips. Yep. I had my staycation. I left my basement but didn't really leave town. I'm curious, from a timing perspective, how do you grade Jesse's timing for this? Good, because the regular season isn't here. If you're going to take some time, preseason is the time to do it. Or a little bit suspect, just in terms of it seems like he gets more days off than anybody else that works here.
Well, I think from a timing standpoint, I know there's preseason games. Jesse needed a break. I could tell he's been running on fumes. I think it's great for him to decompress the regular season. He's going to have Prep Mania coming up. High school football started practicing this week.
The Great Dane Huddle.
He's got Badger College Game Day. Now, obviously, we got volleyball. He's got to get that team put together to get ready to put that great product out on air. He's got the Packers. He's got our show. He's managing people. He's hiring this guy. He's doing this. So I don't have a problem at all. I know we're going to bust his chops, but if you're going to take a blow, now's the time to take a blow.
And just so people know about him taking a blow, that was actually his question, and I was curious about it, because we appreciate how hard he works. There's no denying that.
We appreciate what he brings. How hard he works is probably being too generous.
Okay, I tried to be nice. What is also nice is the news we got from Gina Della of Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin yesterday.
Voice memoed.
That they now can offer 0% interest for 60 months.
5 years. Yep. That's a great way to say welcome to your guests. You know what else you can do? You can say it with a new entry door. From Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, that is the entryway into your home. You want to have people feeling welcome. Get that new entry door. Say it with color. The possibilities are endless, thanks to Pella's custom colors. And, of course, you say it with class. Pella's premium doors, man, they stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. And, as Jason mentioned, say it with a great deal. It was 0% interest for, I don't know, a little bit. It was
a little bit.
And then all of a sudden, we get the bomb. We get the bombshell. A little bit. We got the bombshell news yesterday that until the 31st of August, you get 5 years with no money down and equal payments. It's 60 months. You pay zero interest. And I don't think there's been any rate cuts yet. I think the interest rates are still way through the roof. Not at Pella Windows and Doors. Zero for 5 years. But hurry up. Again, this offer ends at the end of this month. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
All right. I don't usually tell you what to do. I know better than that. So if you don't mind, I would like to...
You usually get oppo. If you do that, you're going to get oppo.
Believe me, I'm acutely aware. I would like to respectfully ask if you would do a homework assignment for me during the 4.5 minutes that we're away.
Sir.
You said that you're not freaking out. You're something short of concerned. I understand that I am the wordsmith, or at least think I am, on the panel. Can you figure out where you are on this offense? Can you find the word that you're looking for? Because not only do I want our fans to chime in with that as well, based on the reportage that Domofsky and Bill Huber and not Wes Hodquist because he only sees the positives, but that I bring. I'm curious where our fans are. If they just think, hey, the defense is awesome, nothing to worry about. So Tausch is going to come up with the word that describes his feelings about the offense's rocky start to training camp. You can do that as well, and then text them to Riley, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. I'll get a tweet out there as well. And then we're going to talk to Rob Domofsky, and we'll ask him what word he would use based on what he has seen from the Packers offense. That's all still ahead.
You think Rob's getting nervous about the boldathon that's coming up?
I don't think it's that, but I don't anticipate him harshly criticizing the quarterback or saying that he's been inconsistent or poor, because that really gets some people riled up, even if it's true. We'll find out together next. It's Wilde and Tausch. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. To let it get away on the road. 844-770-3776.
I got my word.
No one is panicking. We can all agree on that.
I hope not.
No one is upset. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Do you think
Matt LaFleur might be irritated?
If the offense was humming, do you think Matt LaFleur is still playing Jordan Love?
Now that is a really good question.
Did you have access to Matt LaFleur yesterday?
No. Well, the beat reporting corps did. I had access to you at the time that they had access to him.
Okay.
He spoke at 9:50. So what's your word?
No lead-in, no, like, teasiness. Just
I thought
go.
That's what we were just doing. I thought that's what I did.
What does propitious mean?
I was going to just because it's on the screen doesn't mean you have to read it. I wanted
your
word.
Is that not how that works?
So I could look
right,
up
my
that word.
My word is, it's simple for me. The word is, I Googled a thing or two just to thesaurusize.
Sure.
And uneasy.
That
I think
was
uneasy
my word.
Uneasy is what came up. Well, you have to come up with something different now.
Apparently.
Because I'm not, like, freaked out, and I'm not concerned beyond a reasonable doubt. But a lot of interceptions, the fact that the offense is getting swole from all the push-ups that they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that you're not hearing a lot of great things outside of Romeo Doubs.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line, you're not hearing great things. It kind of sounds
not.
Like family night scrimmage. The lunch is getting eaten.
For Sean
Gary's wolfing down sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Lucas Van Ness is wolfing down apps. Like, it ain't great in that respect. So while I'm not at, Nelly, wow, what do we got going? I'm a bit uneasy. I'm not queasy. I'm a bit uneasy.
That's kind of cheesy. So... The word
that's so
on your
sleazy that you'd say that.
Well, that's me. I'm easy peasy. So, Eric and Green Bay's word is propitious. Propitious.
Oh, never heard of it.
And I don't. So Eric apparently is not worried at all. He's not uneasy. He's not sleazy. He's not cheesy because propitious, as defined by Merriam-Webster. Giving or indicating a good chance of success. Favorable. Well, what's that based on? Eric, I appreciate the one-word answer. That's what I asked for. But I would say this, based on what they did last season and based on how good we think their skill position guys are and Jordan Love is, yeah, that's fine. You can be bullish on their offense despite the way things have gone in training camp, but I'm telling you, and Rob will join us here momentarily, I'm telling you, they haven't given you a whole lot of reason to be suspicious. That's what I'm telling you. That doesn't mean they won't be good, but based on the evidence that we have from 2+ weeks of camp, there's no reason to be suspicious. That's all I'm saying. Rob Domofsky is scheduled to appear coming up. We'll see if he has a word. I always have words to tell you about a bunch of our great partners, including Associated Bank. Associated Bank is the place that you belong. Not only do they have Packers checking, not only do they have early pay where you get paid up to 2 days early if you have direct deposit from your employer, but most importantly, they have the best customer service in the industry, and they have the awards to prove it. We're going to be doing a show, or at least I am, from the Associated Bank Titletown branch. So we're looking forward to that. I always enjoy that trip over there. So be sure to go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more about everything they've got going on. Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com, scheduled to appear next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Bruce Springsteen brings us, although he didn't go see Bruce Springsteen. I saw he got a late notice of some other musician he really likes that was playing at the Mile of Music in Appleton, and off he went zooming down 41 to get there. And then he zoomed back home so he could talk to us today. It is Rob Domofsky from ESPN.com. Rob, good morning. How are you? Riley?
Oh, Riley.
Oh, boy.
So
I can hear you.
Hey!
There he is.
Good
work,
Riley. See? These are young players
youngster.
Getting opportunities. You make a mistake, and then you get it fixed. Rob, it looked like you said you're doing well today. I hope you are.
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are good. We're happy to have you. You play golf today on the day off from Access?
Yeah. Maybe.
Oh, okay.
He's coy. Hey, so I'll let Tausch take over because he loves talking to you. You're his favorite beat writer. But we started this with a conversation about what word would you use to describe how you feel about the Packers offense right now. Now, you and I both experienced last year pitchforks and torches at the gate when we dared to point out that Jordan Love was not very good for a good portion of camp. He was very inconsistent. And people got mad about that. So I don't want to put you in a position to deal with that again. At the same time, the defense has eaten the offense's lunch more often than not. And so how are you viewing it?
I guess the word, if I had to narrow it down to one word, it wouldn't be concerned, troubled, anything like that. I would say the word would be waiting, as in waiting for this offense to get back going again. There's been glimpses, Jason. There's no question about it. I mean, any given practice, you know, I think the other – was it yesterday? Dontavian Wicks had a couple really nice catches. Romeo Doubs has had his days where he's been the dominant receiver. Before Christian Watson had the little mishap in the end zone, previous to that, there had been like 2-3 days in a row where he was catching one deep ball a day. So I think we're just sort of waiting for it all to come to fruition. You mentioned the defense, and to me that's the intriguing thing, because I'll be honest, I've fallen into the trap before. I was going through – I wrote about the defense for yesterday, and in doing that story, I went back and looked at a story that I foolishly proudly wrote a year ago at this time where, quoting Rasul Douglas, and I mean, hard to believe Rasul Douglas was on this team a year ago, right? Like, that seems like eons ago. But Rasul Douglas and Jair Alexander talking about how optimistic they were that they're going to be, quote, more aggressive. And I actually remember talking to my editor about that story, and he was a little, probably rightly so, a little lukewarm on it, because he said to me, he goes, well, the next time I hear a team say they want to be less aggressive, then let's write that, you know. But you know, I do think that, and we saw it yesterday in practice. I mean, Jeff Hafley's made an impact, and to the point yesterday was he was actually jumping in the DB individual drills and showing those guys, you know, how he would do it, or giving him pointers, or you know, not to overstep his bounds. I mean, he let, you know, Derek Ainsley and Ryan Downard and those guys coach those guys. But it was just a really interesting little snapshot of what they're doing defensively.
So you feel – so what is it? Because you're hearing all – Rashawn Gary I saw on an interview. Yeah. Jair, obviously. You're hearing these guys – is it just more believable this year because they are actually believing what they're saying rather than lying to you about the aggressiveness from last year's article that you wrote?
I think there's that, Tausch, but I also think they're just making more plays. Like, last year it was, you know, we're talking about doing it. This year it looks like they're actually doing it. I believe the interception count through 13 practices is, I think it's 16 or 17 interceptions. Now, you can't equate that to the regular season because, you know, the numbers are going to be skewed. But last year they had 7 interceptions in 17 games, right? Like, that was second to last in the league. Only the Titans with 6 was worse. And it's the young players and the veterans that are doing it. It's not just, you know, it's not just one thing. But the thing I think might be most, I guess, optimistic is the word, Tausch, and that's the safety position. The combination of Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, and Anthony Johnson Jr., that position has 8 of those interceptions. And to me, that's a huge difference in what this defense is all about in terms of where the focal point is from the playmakers.
And I'm not going to let you slander Rudy Ford, though. I can't. Yeah, slandering of Rudy Ford, please.
Okay. Hey, and you know, one thing, Tausch, you know, I was thinking about like some of the great defenses that, you know, you've seen over the years in the NFL, and I'm probably going back a little too far on this, but like the Steelers when Troy Polamalu was there, like it was a safety driven defense. I feel like, you know, some of the Seattle defenses, even though they had great players at every level, I felt like some of those safeties, you know, were really impact players, and we have not seen that around here. I don't know. Nick Morgan Collins. Burnett was a nice. Yeah, I was gonna say Morgan Burnett was a nice solid player, but he wasn't, you know, Nick Collins. So I just think there's a different focus, and to me, that's the reason that it might be, you know, a little bit believable.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when it comes to safety, I think it's been, especially with Joe Barry's group, it don't give up the big play. And now it feels like with Halfley, it's more go make a big play. Mm-hmm. And that mentality is, but right now, I know it's still early and there's still three preseason games to play. Who's going to be that guy next to X when you're starting to line up, when you're heading down to Brazil?
So here's what I think is going to happen. I think at the start of the season, it's going to be Javon Bullard next to him. The one thing I wonder, though, is if in, let's say, in nickel or in some sub packages, they move Bullard down to the slot and play Evan Williams, so they play all three of them. I'm not saying that Keyshawn Nixon, you know, isn't going to have a role in the defense. They paid him, you know, pretty sizable coin, not just to return 31 kicks a year or whatever it's going to be. So they intend for him to be on the field. I do think, though, that there is some versatility there, especially with Bullard, you know, to move him from, you know, either the deep safety or the in-the-box safety to the slot spot. And look, remember, I think when you were playing Tausch, didn't you guys have different variations of nickel and dime? Like, it wasn't always just, oh, it's nickel, so this guy's going in and this guy's coming out. I feel like that's what it's sort of gotten to, you know, the last couple of defensive coordinators, you know, with Pettine and Joe Barry. It was like, well, if we're in nickel, that means this guy's going for this guy, and that's the way it's going to be every time. You know, remember back in the day, there was big nickel. There was that, I can't remember what they were all called. There was even
NASCAR
one where they had an extra linebacker. Like Brandon Chiller, I think, was an extra linebacker. Yep. Was it Brandon Chiller? Is that, mm-hmm. is that right?
Yeah, good call.
Three safety looks. Yeah, it's – so it's a matchup deal and things like that.
Yeah.
Mm. Sounds like Rob and I are on the same page. We're almost finishing each other's sentences, too. I was saying that earlier in the show.
Rob, you first of all, I want to defend Rasul and Jair. I don't think they lied to us. I think they may have been lied to and then communicated that to us. Because I think Joe Barry was trying to get those guys on board last year. He knew they were both unhappy. Then they trade Rasul Douglas, who was not happy in their defense but was playing pretty well. And then Jair was a pretty clear malcontent. So I think both those guys felt like they were misled. They didn't lie to you and
Jason,
I.
In terms of Jair, you know, I mean, there's a long way to go here. But from his participation, his body language, his energy, and his play, sort of looks like a different guy. You know,
that was literally what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, he's been in the locker room every day, you know, whereas at the end of last half of last year, he was nowhere to be found, didn't want to see anybody. His energy on the field, I mean, he's always going up to the receivers and talking to those guys, especially Dobbs and Watson and Wicks. And then, you know, like just with his own guys and the coaches too. Now, look, one game where they give up 40 and there's miscommunications and somebody gets burned a couple times, all that could go out the window. But I see it, you know, from Jair, a real buy-in and a different energy. And maybe he's just more confident in not only the system but the guys around him. Because, look, if you're a corner and you're playing with safeties that, quite honestly, Joe Barry probably had to protect a little bit, it's probably not that much fun for a corner. You know, and not to bag on Joe Barry, because I think, you know, Joe Barry didn't have Xavier McKinney. You know, he didn't have these two rookies. They always give the next guy what the previous guy didn't have, right? And you know, if you're Joe Barry, you're probably sitting there going, well, why didn't they sign those guys, you know, when I was around? Now, that's not to say they didn't put a lot of resources into the defense, because they did.
Mm-hmm. So, Rob, when you say all that, the real question with Jair Alexander is going to be, is he going to be a willing tackler? Because that, I think, since the shoulder injury, it's all great in training camp. Is that going to come along? Because everybody is raving about Jair's attitude and how he's preparing. That's all great. That's really the question that we have to see with him, because you know he can cover. That's never been an issue. But since that shoulder injury, is he going to get back in there, throw his hat in the ring, and be that guy?
Yeah, so there was one quote this year. Here it is. I'm looking for it. Jair was asked about joint practices with Lamar Jackson, right? And those guys go way back, of course. And he was asked, are you going to be tackling him? And he says, nah, I ain't going to tackle him. I'm glad that's not part of it. I don't got time to try to be chasing this man around. It was just sort of a kind of a, you know, a funny line like that, you know, about joint practices and there's no live tackling. But it did make me, in the back of my mind, wonder if, you know, does he really want to tackle? And you know, I'm probably that's making a leap there with putting those two quotes together. But it was just, it struck me when he said it, you know, boy, you know, I mean, I don't know what anybody wants to tackle in practice. So, but just like that in the back of my mind is the question about Jair. Now, I do think that if he is confident in the shoulder, and I haven't heard or seen any reason to think that he's not, and if I'm not mistaken, Jason, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I haven't seen any wearing him wearing any sort of protection. Nope. Like we saw, you know, Zach Tom's wearing something right now. Jordan Morgan's obviously hurt with his shoulder, wearing something. So, you know, Jair seems to be in a pretty good spot with all of his injuries.
So, Rob, with all this aggressiveness and all this, who do you think is going to be that emergent star? Is it going to be Rashawn Gary? Is it Kenny Clark? I know everybody's an all-pro when it comes to training camp, but who do you think is going to be the – we're going to talk in October, November, going to say, man, Jeff Hafley's defense has really turned this guy into a star. Who would that be for you?
Yeah, that's I think it's a great question. I think Rashawn Gary kind of already is a star. But I do think that position.
Is he elite? I just want to make sure we're on the same page, Rob. Is he elite?
No, he's not Micah or, you know, those guys. But
no double-digit sack seasons yet. I just would like to. I know he blew out his ACL.
A lot of pressures, though.
I get a lot of grief from this guy. So thank you for not saying he was elite. I appreciate you.
Here's the thing, Tausch. I think that position. I think that position is we talked a lot about safety, but that position is so different in this scheme. And look, Rashawn Gary said it, and he's a very simple, soft-spoken. He uses short sentences. What he likes about the defense is hand in the dirt, don't have to drop. Those were like two of his lines. And I think that applies to, you know, Lucas Van Ness. And Lucas Van Ness has made some plays in camp, mostly with the twos and against the twos. But that's another guy that I just think, you know, he's better suited to have his hand in the ground and play that way. And then, I mean, 55, man, you see him pop up every day. Kingsley Enagbare, which I still don't understand how he's even out there, you know, with a quote-unquote partial torn ACL, which, you know, the old training staff, Pepper Burris and that whole crew, and I think Dr. McKenzie used to use this word, having a partially torn ACL is like being a little pregnant, you know, like it's either torn or it's not, it doesn't heal. I don't know how he's doing it. It's a medical marvel, but Kingsley Enagbare has been all over the place. And I think that's just a product of not only how good those guys are, but how they're being asked to play in this defense.
All right, Rob, I know it's your theoretical off day, but I want to jump to the other side of the ball quickly before we let you go, because you mentioned Jordan Morgan. And I was here. It was a close to the public practice, so I didn't want to do the radio show and get in trouble. Apparently, from what I was reading from Bill Huber and elsewhere, so Sean Ryan starts out at right guard with the ones, commits a false start, gets yanked, and then doesn't come back with the ones the rest of practice?
That's the way Bill and I saw it. And I'm starting to question whether we saw it accurately, because West said he saw 62 in there from the start. All I know is they lined up. There was some sort of stoppage in play. And I swear 75 was out there at the start. And then when they actually ran the play, he wasn't. So I can't say exactly what happened, but for the rest of the practice, Jacob Monk was at right guard and Sean Ryan was at center with the twos. And I wonder if I did see Ryan out there correctly, I wonder if he just thought he was playing right guard and forgetting that they needed him at center with the twos and they wanted Monk to get some guard work. Did he get yanked because there was a penalty? I don't know. But I do think that, when we're talking about the offensive line in general, it's a little less settled than I thought it was going to be.
I agree.
And I can tell you this from talking to people both with the team and from around the league. Most people don't think the number three tackle is currently on this roster.
Including you and I. Including you and I, based on what you and I have seen in practice every day.
Yeah. But even around the – so that tells me two things. One, the people internally see it the way we do. And two, if I'm hearing it from people around the league, that means the Packers must be inquiring about backup tackle possibilities.
So
what
a
newsbreaker.
Yeah.
Hey, guy's a newsbreaker.
Wait till Zach.
That's what I hear, Tausch.
Wait till this takes, catches fire like Zach Tom, Hall of Fame center. Because I think they really want Jordan Morgan to be the starting right guard. And I think they want, and maybe this is why he worked with the twos at center yesterday. They really want Ryan to be the sixth man that takes the three inside spots.
Yeah. It's really funny when, you know, and I don't want to speak for you guys, but I think most people thought when they drafted Jordan Morgan, it was going to be a competition between him and Rashid Walker at left tackle, and Sean Ryan was the right guard, and it's been the other. It's been Rashid Walker has taken 99.9% of the number one left tackle spots, and it's been Ryan and Morgan, at right guard. So, I guess I really thought Sean Ryan had a nice finish to the season. Maybe there was something there that I didn't see, but clearly that's what they think right now.
Well, as Tausch said, the ascendance of Jordan Love corresponded with them getting their together on the offensive line last year, and it does not feel like they. To your point about Rashid Walker, Tausch and Bulaga and I spent a long time earlier in the week talking about, or last week, about the fact that Steno used the word trust about him.
Yeah.
That is a huge word about him.
To be fair, the offense has had a lot more time and functioned better when Zach Tom's been out there, right?
Sure, like, no doubt.
And I would think most of the stuff that we've seen, this is anecdotally, not from what I've charted, but just anecdotally, most of the pressures have come from the issues on the right side of that line. Look, they had Andre Dillard over there. They had Kadeem Telford over there. I can't remember if Caleb Jones played any right tackle, but he definitely was at left with the twos. So, Zach Tom solves a lot of it. But, again, if Zach Tom gets hurt during the season, you better have a better option. So I think that's where they're at right now with the offensive line.
All right, whether you're playing golf or not on your day off, we hope you hit them straight if you do, and we appreciate you. Thanks for making time for us, bud.
All right, we'll be seeing you. Take care.
That is Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. You can read his daily blurbs there and some of his longer stories, of course, as well. He did a really good story about ownership. I know that we have a lot of stockholders that listen to the program. You might want to check that out from the start of camp. Tausch, I'm curious, when you listened to him, what jumped out at you, and did it change any of the words that are floating around in your brain about this team heading into the preseason opener? Give that some thought. We'll get those words from you next. It's Wilde and Tausch. It's great to spend time with Rob Domofsky. He always brings it. We appreciate him so much. Tausch, I want to ask a question, but I really don't want to deal with, there's Wilde going after Goody again. He has been great. He has stocked this roster very impressively. He deserves all the flowers and bouquets he's being thrown. My question is, if the third tackle, which is no small job in terms of importance when it comes to backups and depth, if that player is not currently on the roster, has he failed in that area on his offensive line building?
It's really difficult to just sit here and say, I have 15 offensive tackles. There are...
You don't need 15, three.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of teams that don't have two. So just to say, just snap your fingers. Tell me who's developed offensive linemen better than Brian Gutekunst, Ted Thompson in the last 10, 15 years.
Again, I would give the credit not to them, although they did draft a lot of college left tackles, both of them. But I would give the credit to...
I understand you give it to Steno, you give it to the players, but
right,
you have to...
Larry Bechtel.
You have to acknowledge that what the scouting department has done is look for certain measurables, a certain set of skills that they possess, and it's being left tackle, it's being athletic, left tackle in college, and then developing them into different spots. The fact that they drafted a left tackle and are planning on starting him at right guard, if that works, kudos.
But right. Yes, and the guy he's competing with was a college left tackle too.
That's my point. So while we can sit here and say, well, the guy's not on this team, you think there's just going to be some team that's willing to say, oh, here you go, Green Bay. Here's one of our better tackles.
No,
you have to develop.
I'm not saying that.
What are
you saying? They developed Yash, right? They developed Yash.
To some degree. They didn't develop him enough to say he's our guy.
No, but he started 21 games and was what you want in a swing tackle. He could go in at either spot. He could get you through the game, and a lot of times he played well. Remember, he shut down a Bosa, which we were talking about how that happened with Rashid Walker, and that's what's led in part to them having faith in him and believing in him and trusting him. My point is that, hey, they get credit for finding Rashid Walker in the seventh round and him being their left tackle. They deserve credit for that. I'm saying from this purely this perspective, they've invested in a lot of offensive linemen in the last five drafts. The fact that they don't have one that can play both tackle spots, and Andre Dillard does not appear to be the answer, I think says there is a hole in the roster. I don't know how else you see it.
Well, listen, as we sit here right now, you could say, well, there's nobody we feel great about, but they didn't feel great about Yash Nyman last year either.
Right, because they've kept Caleb Jones for 3 years.
Okay, and if he isn't going to be the guy, they'll get rid of him.
Yeah.
And they'll try and find somebody else to develop. But this idea that, now, if you end up going into a game and you don't have an answer, whether it's Elgton Jenkins or you move Jordan Morgan, you put Sean Ryan in, like, just because you don't have a surplus of offensive tackles, guess what? Nobody does. You have to get 8 or 9 guys, and Green Bay cross-trains guys so that you can play different spots. They have 2 or 3 guys that can play 2 or 3 different spots. So I understand this is part of the overreaction culture of preseason football.
It's not that.
Because you don't have a third string guy that can block Rashawn Gary.
No, they had guys last year. They I want to be clear. This is this is somewhere above nitpicking, but somewhere below a major issue. But they opened last season with 2 clear-cut reliable tackles. A 5-time All-Pro in David Bakhtiari and an ascending star, if you can be one at right tackle, in Zach Tom. And they had 2 guys that, as we found out, both could play in Rashid Walker and in Yash Nyman. So is that a surplus? That feels to me like one more than you can rightfully expect. 2 starting caliber guys and a guy that can fill in and maybe be a spot starter. Instead, they had 2 guys like that. And now, Yash Nyman walks for no money because they were down on him, and David Bakhtiari retires or whatever it is he's doing right now. And now they have 2 guys that were, one that was reliable, one that proved he was reliable, and that's it. Again, I don't think this is not a, oh my God, they don't have a starting running back or they don't have a quarterback. That's not what this is. But I keep going back to 2014 because it was such a rarity when Brian Bulaga missed 1 game. 1 offensive lineman missed 1 game. And you're not going to be that lucky. You're just not. And when I look at this team, and you are the one who said it first, and you were 1,000,000% right, Jordan Love's
run of great play began when the offensive line settled. So mm-hmm. I don't think I'm being an alarmist. I don't think I'm overreacting. You know, you thought you picked up a bargain in a guy in Andre Dillard, who's a former first-round pick, and he was going to be able to be that guy once Zach Tom was healthy.
Nobody thought that. You hoped that he could be a serviceable guy at the end. And you know what? Goody took a shot. It does not feel like that's working out. I think you have to look at Tenuta. I think you have to look at Caleb. And if that doesn't work, okay, then what it comes down to is, do you have trust that you can move Jordan Morgan, a first-round pick, to be your swing guy, and Sean Ryan comes in at right guard? You aren't going to have 10 great linemen on a roster. You're just not. Not in this not here. You can develop guys and have guys be able to fill in, but if you expect to, how do you not have a third swing tackle? How do you not have a great backup center? Jason, go ahead and look around. The Bears haven't had a good starting five offensive line for 3 years, and that's why they've stunk, a big part of it. Minnesota has struggled. They had to dump a bunch of revenue into getting Darrisaw and to getting their right tackle O'Neal and then drafting centers and hoping Kenny Clark doesn't wreck games. And you know what? He still wrecks games. So I get it. It's a concern, no question. But you can't just sit here, snap your fingers, and say, "Oh boy, Goody really dropped the ball in this one. He doesn't have a young David." But you kind of did.
Yeah, there is a hole on the roster, and he's drafted a crap load of offensive linemen. That's all I'm saying. You're right. He doesn't have a hole in terms of a starter, because whatever they do at right guard, they have a guy. One is a first-round pick.
Let me tell you something. Fair. They just drafted a first-round pick. They just got a seventh-round pick to be your starting left tackle.
Right. I just said he gets credit for that. And a fifth. Fourth. Zach Tom was a fourth.
What you're saying, I get it. I understand it. You can't expect every position to be stocked with two and three studs that you could just, Lenny's out, put Frankie in. Because you want to know something? If you want to play that game, you're going to end up saying shame on Goody for not having, Luke McCown. A backup that could take over for Jordan Love. It's the same basic principle.
Right. You did exactly what I feared you would do, which is where I started.
What?
This is not just because it's okay to say the guy's been freaking awesome at building the roster and saying that your offensive line is extremely vital to your $220 million quarterback being able to play at the peak of his game, and that you're one injury away from having real problems up front. I think there's a difference there.
I have a really hard time. And listen, you can critique Goody for a lot of stuff. I am a Goody stan. I am a willing acknowledgement of that. But to sit here and say it's some, you know, admonishment because he doesn't have a great third swing tackle.
He doesn't have to be great. He doesn't have a functioning third tackle.
We don't know that. We do not know that.
What were you not listening when Rob was on?
They don't think they do. At the same time last year, was anybody saying that Rashid Walker was going to be a starting left tackle in this league? Nobody.
No, but
so
they have seen
let
Josh Nyman start 21 games.
But they didn't even want him to play ahead of Rashid Walker. So
that
come
was later
on,
in
man.
The year. Hey, once in a while, it's okay for you.
Thank you.
No, that was later
thank
in the year
you.
That they decided they didn't want Josh Nyman to play. He started camp in a very high-profile position. He practiced with the ones most of the time because David wasn't practicing. So
are you saying they should have re-signed Josh Nyman to be their swing guy? Is that what you're telling
me? Yeah, for next to nothing. But they don't. They clearly lost faith in him. So, no, they shouldn't have re-signed him. But I'm guessing, where did he go, Indianapolis? I'm guessing he's going to be okay as their third swing tackle. He may be one of those guys that's all you want him to be, right?
Okay.
They wanted you to be a starter. They wanted Cliffy to be a starter. But there were guys, Barry Stokes, your buddy, outstanding option as a guy that is a veteran who can get you through games if you don't have him.
Okay, yes, agree with you. But, Jason, what I'm telling you is if you were doing this show in 2002 or 03, you would be saying the same thing because Barry Stokes was a journeyman who'd been cut 15 times, and until he got the opportunity, he didn't. Maybe Luke Tenuta can be that.
Maybe Luke
Caleb
Tenuta
can do that.
Yeah, maybe Luke Tenuta
so
can be that.
That's why I'm saying it's. I'm just kind of like, Jason, just slow your roll on bashing Goody about not having
bashing
a stud third tackle.
This is why I don't do this.
That's all I'm saying.
We need to – bashing. Bashing. Get out of here with bashing. Go to Quick Trip instead. Go get a cup of mud and a smoothie. Leave me alone.
Well, it's summertime and there's nothing quite like a stop at Quick Trip. And while I'm on the road, I want to get an ice cold, refreshing drink, like an ice cold Coke. And this summer just got a whole lot cooler with Quick Trip and Coca-Cola. Play the Coca-Cola Summer Cash Grab Pull Tab game daily this summer in your Quick Rewards app. Can enter in to win the weekly winner drawing where Quick Trip is giving away $500,000 this summer. 10 weekly winners, $25,000 each, and one final week winner gets $250,000. I just saw, oh boy, I think it was from Amherst, don't quote me on that, that just won this week's when I was filling up my gas the other day. 500 grand, again, given away just for playing the Coca-Cola Summer Cash Grab Pull Tab game on the Quick Rewards app. You can even earn extra chances to win by using your Quick Rewards every time you purchase Coke, Monster Energy, Powerade, Body Armor, Smart Water, or Core Power Elite products. Download the Quick Rewards app today. See quicktrip.com/sweepstakes for full details.
We got into a heated debate there, so we're running late. The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.